It's Tuesday morning, the 7th of July, and the week has settled into its working rhythm. There are no fireworks left over from the long weekend now, just the steady hum of people at their benches, building. This is a quieter day than yesterday, and a more technical one. Most of what caught my eye is happening under the hood, what today rather than up on the stage, so find your coffee, get comfortable, and let me walk you through four things worth your attention this morning. First up, and it's the story I'd lead with even on a slow day. Anthropic published a detailed account of how the government of Alberta, in Canada, has been using Claude Code to secure its own software. And the scale is the thing. A team inside Alberta's Ministry of Technology and Innovation pointed Claude Code, running on both Opus and Sonnet, at the code it maintains for all 27 provincial ministries, and had roughly 50 agents work in parallel to read 466 million lines of it in about 20 hours. By their own estimate, a review like that would otherwise have taken something like 6.5 years by hand. It ran in two stages, a rules engine first flags known vulnerable patterns in each repository, and then a review pass looks at each flag and cites the exact file and line so a human engineer can check it, and it caught problems the conventional scanners had missed. The fixing was just as automated. Where the scan found a hole, Claude Code could often write the fix, write the tests needed to prove the fix was safe, and rebuild the component. And where the code was too old to patch cleanly, it rebuilt it in a modern language. One subsidy portal, originally handwritten in Java about 25 years ago, had taken 5 months to build the first time. It was reconstructed in 4 or 5 days. Every patch was reviewed and approved by Alberta's own engineers before it shipped. They've also stood up permanent review agents on the Claude Agent Software Development Kit, a red team agent that probes an application from the outside the way an attacker would, and a blue team agent that grades its defenses against an international security standard and writes a remediation plan pointing at the exact files to fix. Every application gets checked against about 95 security controls on each pass. Beyond the scanning and fixing, Alberta is training its own staff and the public to work this way through a dedicated academy, and it's planning to fold one ministry's 185 aging applications down into 16 modern ones. This matters because the mess Alberta is cleaning up, old, undocumented, insecure, code-holding sensitive records, is not unique to Alberta. It's every state and agency. And this is the first large publicly documented blueprint for turning coding agents loose on an entire government's code base and actually closing the gaps. Moving on to our second story, which was the single most discussed paper in the community today. It's about a very practical headache in reinforcement learning, the training method that has become the main lever for teaching models to reason. When you train a model this way, you're actually running two engines. A fast one that generates the model's attempts, and a precise one that computes the updates. And here's the catch. Even with identical weights, those two engines assign slightly different probabilities to the very same attempt. That mismatch injects a persistent form of instability that can quietly poison training or collapse it outright. Plenty of prior work has tried to patch that mismatch directly. What this paper argues is that the field has been optimizing the wrong target altogether. Improving the policy inside the training engine, they point out, does not guarantee that the policy you deploy, the one running in the fast inference engine, gets any better. So they redefine the goal around the deployed policy itself, calling it monotonic inference policy improvement, and they build a method to chase it. It constructs candidate updates referenced to the sampler and then only accepts the ones that a cheap inference side proxy predicts will really help the deployed model. Across two model sizes under heavy mismatch, it improved both reasoning performance and training stability. The work comes out of a group at Alibaba, and I think the reason it resonated is that so many people are hitting exactly this instability in their own reinforcement learning runs and the reframing that the model you train and the model you ship are different objects, and you should optimize the one you ship, is the sort of clean idea that's obvious only in hindsight. It's a small shift with a wide footprint, because that gap between the sampling engine and the training engine sits underneath nearly every serious reinforcement learning pipeline running today. Third up is a paper from a team spanning Stanford, Berkeley, and NVIDIA, with names on it like Chelsea Finn, Oyon Stoica, and Azalea Mirhoseini. And it makes a nice argument that verification, the plain act of judging whether an answer is correct, deserves to be treated as its own axis you can scale right alongside pre-training, post-training, and test time compute. They build a general-purpose verifier that needs no extra training. The trick is that instead of asking a judge model to blurt out a single discrete score, they take the expectation over the full distribution of the scoring token's logits, which gives them a smooth, continuous score. And that one change lets verification scale in three directions: finer score granularity, which separates good answers from bad ones more cleanly; repeated evaluation, which averages out noise; and breaking the criteria into pieces, which makes each judgment simpler. They wrap it with a cost-efficient ranking algorithm for picking the best of many candidate answers. The numbers are strong, state-of-the-art results across a spread of hard agent benchmarks, including 78.2% on SWEA Bench Verified, the software engineering benchmark, and 86.5% on Terminal Bench. The same fine-grained signal doubles as a way to estimate how far along a task is, and they shipped it as an extension for Claude Code so developers can watch their own agents. And it works as a dense reward for reinforcement learning, improving the sample efficiency of both soft actor critic and group relative policy optimization on robotics and math. What ties all of that together is reliability. It's the shared bottleneck under coding agents, robot reward models, and answer selection alike. And a single training-free verifier that lifts all of them at once is genuinely useful. And for our fourth and final story this morning, a paper from ByteDance and Tsinghua that's about making post-training cheaper. Reinforcement learning with verifiable rewards is a powerful recipe for reasoning, but it's expensive to redo on every new large model because the model you're training has to generate mountains of attempts as it goes. So post-training itself becomes the bottleneck as models get bigger. Their idea is a weak to strong shortcut. Run the reinforcement learning on a small, cheap model, and then transfer what it learned up to a stronger one. Now simply distilling the finished small model doesn't work, because its final behavior tangles the useful lessons together with the small model's own limitations. So instead they transfer the shift. They compare the small model after reinforcement learning against its own earlier self from before, and treat the ratio between them as a dense, implicit reward, a signal that captures precisely which moves the training made the small model more or less likely to make. Then they apply that signal on the strong model's own attempts. No separate reward model, no expensive sparse reward training on the big model at all. And it works. It lifted a Qwen3 model at 1.7 billion parameters from 48.3% to 62.4% on the 2024 version of the AIME math competition in about 4 hours on 8A100 graphics processors. It beat running the training directly for the same number of steps, and you can even stack several of these transferred shifts in sequence. The larger idea is the appealing part, that the payoff from an expensive reinforcement learning run can be reused across model sizes as a reward signal, instead of just as a finished model to imitate. So what tied this morning together? Not a shiny new model. There wasn't one today. It was the machinery around the models. A government pointing coding agents at millions of lines of real, fragile code and actually fixing it. A paper insisting we measure the model we deploy, not the one we train. A verifier that turns checking an answer into its own kind of compute you can scale up, and a way to reuse an expensive lesson without paying for it twice. Set those four side by side, and you get a field spending its energy on trust and on cost, on making these systems dependable and affordable, not merely capable. The full digest has the rest of today's reading if you want to go further on any of it. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Until then, look after yourself and keep asking how things actually work.